We're continuing to follow the tense standoff with Russia, which may or may not be on the brink of sending troops into Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken gave an update on the U.S. position at a news conference today. Blinken said the U.S. delivered its response to a number of security demands from Russia, but he said the document isn't being released to the public to encourage a frank discussion.
We're prepared to move forward where there is the possibility of communication cooperation. If Russia de-escalates its aggression toward Ukraine, stops the inflammatory rhetoric, and approaches discussions about the future of security in Europe in a spirit of reciprocity.
But what does Russia want? Earlier today, I put that question to Missy Ryan. She's a national security reporter with our editorial partner, The Washington Post.
Basically, what it's asking for is an outright ban on Ukraine and other countries in the former Soviet sphere joining the NATO alliance, and also significant limits to NATO military activity in the same area. And really, it would be rolling back the clock in terms of allowing Russia to dominate some of these countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union and in recent years have turned much more towards the West.
Right. Now, American officials have basically responded to those demands in the past as non-starters. So what could the U.S. say to Russia's demands now that would be any different from its previous responses?
Basically, they're complying with sort of a process request from the Kremlin, which is that, you know, Russia put forward these two written treaties that they, quote unquote, treaties that they proposed in December. And the Russians say that they are not able to continue the diplomacy until they get a formal response from the United States. So the Biden administration is basically grudgingly agreeing to do this. At the same time, they're saying we're never going to agree to abandon the open door policy of NATO, which would allow a country like Ukraine to join the alliance if they meet certain conditions. And we're never going to allow Russia to establish spheres of influence that would deprive sovereign nations of their own rights. But they're also very much interested in continuing diplomacy because they see the alternative as potentially military action on the part of Russia, and that's something that they want to avoid.
So one more question about this sort of diplomatic dance, if you will. Is there any possibility, in your view, that something surprising or in some way that could diffuse the situation could come out of this?
Well, the United States is expected to include other issues that it has proposed as sort of compromise steps into this. And those could be sort of mutual steps on military exercises and arms control. But really, Moscow has signaled very little interest in these smaller moves and instead is accusing Ukraine and NATO of threatening Russian security. So it's a situation where you have the two sides really talking past each other. And that was really apparent last week in Geneva when Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, and I was there as part of the press corps. And you just saw the two sides sort of digging into their respective accusations of the other one and undermining the other's security. So I don't think that there's a real hope for a breakthrough anytime soon, but I think the best case scenario would be continued diplomacy.
Missy, today on Morning Edition, we heard from the former Ukraine defense minister that a Russian invasion is not imminent. He doesn't even think Russia would make a move, if it makes a move at all, until after the Beijing Olympics. What do you make of that?
Well, it's really interesting because this was one thing we saw as, you know, Blinken visited Kyiv last week where he met with President Zelensky and the Ukrainian foreign minister. And then he flew to Berlin where he met with German and French and British diplomats. And while he was there to deliver this message of Western unity against potential aggression by Russia against Ukraine, it also was apparent in those visits that there are real significant and substantive differences of opinion when it comes to the imminence of the threat. You see, as you just noted, that Zelensky and many of the senior Ukrainians are more skeptical that Russia is about to launch some sort of outright attack. So there's differences. And France, I think, also has more skepticism than the United States and Britain, which have been more forward-leaning in ringing the alarm in terms of a possible invasion. And then there also are significant differences among NATO nations about how far to go in supporting Ukraine. The United States and Britain were rushing just this week and last week new weaponry to the Ukrainian government to help them prepare for a potential invasion. But you also have countries like Germany. You know, there's a new coalition government in Germany, and they have constraints about what they will do in terms of delivering weaponry to Ukraine. They have chosen not to do so far, and there is a huge question mark about Germany's willingness to use the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline as a point of leverage against Russia in this whole standoff over Ukraine.
All right. Well, we'll be watching it with your help. Missy Ryan, a national security reporter with the Washington Post. Thanks so much, Missy.
Thank you.